This classic Che Guevara icon is also available on a long sleeve tee in kid sizes. Long live the rebel in all of us. There's no cooler iconic image than Che. The Argentine henchman of the Cuban Revolution was a murderer and goon. He penned classically fascist apothegms in his journals. Hatred as an element of struggle. Unbending hatred for the enemy, which pushes a human being beyond his natural limitations, making him into an effective, violent, selective, and cold-blooded killing machine. Guevara was a better writer, but the same muse helped to produce Mein Kampf. Guevara reveled in executing prisoners. While fomenting revolution in Guatemala, he wrote home to his mother, "It was all a lot of fun, what with the bombs, speeches, and other distractions to break the monotony I was living in." His motto was, "If in doubt, kill him," and he killed a great many. The Cuban-American writer Humberto Fontova described Guevara as a combination of Beria and Himmler. Guevara certainly killed more dissidents and lovers of democracy than Mussolini ever did, and Mussolini's Italy was undoubtedly more free than any society Guevara the freedom fighter was seeking. Would you put a Mussolini onesie on your baby? Would you let your daughter drink from a Himmler sippy cup? One can have a Jesuitical argument about the precise political labels these men deserve, but the fact remains that what made these liberationist movements so popular were precisely those attributes Guevara, Castro, Mao, and the rest shared with the heroes of fascism. And if you scrub the names Marx and Lenin from their speeches, what remains is the stuff of any diatribe Mussolini delivered from a balcony. Indeed, sometimes with Mussolini, you don't even need to scrub the Marx and Lenin away. These were all nationalists, committed to national socialism, promising to enact a truer and more organic democracy, one that rejected the formulaic, superficial, and decadent sham democracy of the bourgeois West. Figures like the Congolese nationalist Patrice Lumumba were heroes for no other reason than that they opposed the United States and claimed to represent a racially pure revolutionary cause. The United Nations and affiliated elites adopted the racist stance that when blacks or other oppressed peoples killed each other or killed whites, it was a legitimate expression of third world will to power. Pan-Africanism, Pan-Arabism, the Chinese way, and anti-colonialism generally were recast versions of Hitler's Pan-Germanism and Mussolini's effort to be the ruler of Latin civilization and Italians everywhere. Third worlders needed Lebensraum too. Under doctrines of black liberation, revolutionary violence was always justified so long as you insisted that the bloodied corpse had somehow been an accomplice to oppression. Whites became the new Jews. To shoot down a European is to kill two birds with one stone, to destroy an oppressor and the man he oppresses at the same time, observed Jean-Paul Sartre in his preface to one of Franz Fanon's books.